Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. Thank you, choir, for leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles today, let me invite you to find Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Esteem Them Highly. Esteem Them Highly. In just a few moments, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through the end of the chapter, verse 30. If you are a guest with us today, we are studying God's Word, the book of Philippians, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And today we've come to the end of Philippians chapter 2. Today's text, Paul is going to mention two men, one of which he has already mentioned in this letter of joy to the Philippian church. The one that he has already mentioned is Timothy. And if you will look back at chapter 1 and verse 1, you'll be reminded that Paul wrote, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And so Paul has already mentioned his protege, Timothy. He's going to mention him again this morning in today's text. But then there's going to be a new name that we will see in just a few moments, and that name is Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. And we'll talk more about him in just a moment. But let me set the stage for you, if I may. Paul, if you will remember, is in a Roman prison, or under Roman guard, I should say. He's under house arrest. He is chained to a Roman guard for a period of 2 years. If he goes to eat, the Roman guard goes with him. If he goes to sleep, the Roman guard goes with him. In writing this letter, the Roman guard is with him. So again, he is under house arrest there in Rome. Timothy is also close by, not under house arrest, but close by, accessible to Paul. Remember, Paul is in chains because he preached the gospel, and that was not received favorably. And then there is this individual, Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus has brought to Paul some type of financial gift. Some type of financial gift from the Philippian church. And so here's what's going to happen. Paul is writing this letter. He is going to send the letter back to Philippi via Epaphras. Epaphras is from Philippi. He is known in that church. He was sent by that church. Paul is going to send him back with the letter, this letter of joy. And once he gets back, once Epaphroditus gets back to Philippi, Paul's then going to send Timothy. And he's going to send Timothy to make sure that Epaphroditus got there, that Epaphroditus delivered the letter. And then Timothy is going to get a report from the Philippian church, and he's going to go back to Rome, and he's going to share that report with Paul. And all of that is setting the stage for today, and I think it will make more sense to you after having set the stage and now looking at today's text. Again, a message entitled, Esteem Them Highly, from Philippians chapter 2. If you have found that verse, would you stand this morning in honor of the reading of God's Word? And I invite you to follow along on the screens behind me or in your copy of the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my fellow brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful that we have access this morning to your word. And so over these next few moments, with the word of God and the spirit of God in this place, mold us and shape us more into the image of Christ. Convict us of sin. Train us in righteousness. Encourage and comfort those today, Lord, who are in need of that. We love you. We're thankful for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Before we get to Timothy and Epaphroditus, let's be reminded for just a few moments about Paul the Apostle. Notice in today's text that it is very clear that Paul the Apostle is committed to the Lord Jesus. Amen? He is committed to the Lord Jesus. He is trusting in the ways of the Lord. Look there in verse 19. He says, even using those words, but I trust in the Lord Jesus. And then he says that same thing again in verse 24. But I trust in the Lord. Now, if you'll remember, as I mentioned a moment ago, what are his current circumstances? Well, he's under house arrest. He describes it as in chains, four different times in Philippians chapter 1. So in spite of his circumstances, in spite of his adversity, in spite of his trial, in spite of his tribulation, he says, I trust in the Lord. What about you? Can you say that this morning? In the face of your trial, in the face of your adversity, in the middle of your experience, can you say, I trust in the Lord? May it be so. Not only was he committed to the Lord and the ways of the Lord, but he was also concerned about the Philippian church. He was concerned about the Philippian church. There in verse 19, he even says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. He wants to know how they are doing. He wants to know how they are making it. And so I ask you again the same question that I asked a moment ago. Brothers and sisters, what about you? Are you concerned about those around you this morning? Or maybe a better question, are you concerned about those who are not around you this morning? Maybe the ones that you have been around in the past, but you haven't seen them in a couple of weeks. Or you haven't seen them in a couple of months. Or maybe you haven't seen them at Emory Baptist Church in a couple of years. But you did it one time. Are you concerned about them? Do you want to know what is their current state? Or is that just my job? See, I believe it's our responsibility to be concerned for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul was committed to the Lord and His ways. He was concerned about the Philippian believers. And then thirdly, he was the one who was going to commission Timothy to go to them. He says there in verse 19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Verse 23, therefore I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. He would eventually undergo a trial. He wasn't sure exactly how that trial would turn out. But regardless, he was going to send, he had commissioned Timothy, his protege, to go back to Philippi and to get a report and to find out how things were going. But let's not only look at Paul this morning, let's also consider Timothy. Notice there in verse 20 that Timothy was of the same mind as Paul. For I have no one like-minded. And what the implication there is, no one like-minded as was Timothy. See, Timothy and Paul shared the same mind. Literally, in the words of the New Testament, in the language of the New Testament, verse 20 says, the same psyche. Your translation may read something like, they were kindred spirits. They thought the same way. They behaved the same way. They wanted to know the same things. Paul said, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. And then he describes what their mindset is, for all seek their own, in verse 21. Not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but not Timothy. Timothy and I are of the same mind. We're of the same psyche. We're of kindred spirit. We are seeking the things of God. And like the Apostle Paul, as he was concerned about the Philippian church, we see there in verses 20, 21, and 22 that Timothy was also sympathetic toward the Philippian believers. Again, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Timothy was also concerned about the Philippian believers. He was sympathetic to their need, to their experience. Well, why might he have been sympathetic? I want you to turn back in the New Testament to Acts chapter 16. There in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, follow along as I begin reading. Then he, that's Paul, then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the very same one that we're talking about in Philippians. The son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, so this is now Paul and Timothy. So Paul and Timothy are on this missionary journey together. And as he went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with them, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. You see, the Philippians knew Timothy because he had helped the Apostle Paul start the church there. They knew Timothy, and Timothy knew them. And so, of course, it makes perfect sense that like the Apostle Paul, that Timothy was concerned for the believers. He was also sympathetic. He wanted to know what was happening with them. So Timothy was of the same mind as Paul. He was sympathetic toward the Philippian church, and he was also a servant of the Lord. And the reason that we know that he was a servant of the Lord is there in verse 22, because he served the Apostle Paul. That's the language he uses. He served with me in the gospel. It was his relationship with the Lord that inspired him and led him to serve others. So I'm going to ask you a question. I've asked you several times this morning already. What about you? You see, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, then you will also want to have relationship with others, serving the Lord by serving them. And if you're not serving others, then an honest question needs to be asked. Are you serving the Lord? Because again, if you are, then naturally out of that relationship with the Lord is your service of others. Timothy was of the same mind as Paul. He was sympathetic to the Philippian believers, and he was a servant of the Lord and to others. Well, let's consider this third individual this morning. We've seen Paul the apostle. We've seen Timothy, his protege. Let's consider Epaphroditus, whose name literally means the charming one. Epaphroditus, the charming one. Notice that he was a messenger from Philippi. Verse 25. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Remember, Paul's writing this letter to the Philippian church, and he's going to send the letter with Epaphroditus back to Philippi. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger. You see, Epaphroditus was from Philippi. He grew up in that church. He was one of their own. And if you'll remember, he had brought to Paul a particular gift, seems to be a monetary gift, on behalf of the Philippian believers. And so he was their messenger. But not only was he their messenger, he was Paul's minister. Verse 25, and the one who ministered to my need. He had brought with him this financial gift. We see it there in verse 25. It says also there in verse 30, the end of the verse, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. If you look over in chapter 4, in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You see, he was a member of the Philippian church. He was a minister unto the Apostle Paul, and he did all of that while he was medically sick. Verse 26, Epaphroditus was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. You ever find out news about someone? You haven't been around in a while and you've heard that they were sick or they received a certain diagnosis or they were going through a certain treatment. The Philippian church heard that that Epaphroditus was sick. Paul describes it in verse 27. He was sick almost unto death. He came close to losing his life. How? Simply by doing the work of the gospel. We don't know the details, but he was doing the work of the gospel. He had gotten sick. He came close to death, but verse 27, God healed him. Amen? But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Or in other words, esteem them highly. Because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Well, as we think about this morning, application from today's text for our lives, let me share with you three, if I may. First and foremost, with a crowd this size and not knowing each and every one of you, I'm confident that there are some of you here today that you are not like Timothy, Paul, and Epaphroditus. What do you mean we're not like? There are some of you here today who are not in Christ. You see, the reason that we're even looking at these three men this morning, the number one reason that we're looking at them is because they are followers of the Lord Jesus. They are in Christ. And you find that phrase multiple times, again there in verse 19, in the Lord Jesus. You see it again there in verse 29, in the Lord, receive him therefore in the Lord. You see it also again in verse 24, trust in the Lord. See, if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, well you're not in the Lord this morning. And I would invite you to receive the invitation to admit that you're a sinner. And to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and in your place. And he invites you to put your faith and trust in him. Don't put it in yourself, because we will fail again and again and again and again. But put your faith and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. So that's the first aspect of today's invitation. That's the first application of this text for us this morning. The second application is this. You see in these men multiple characteristics that would be worthy of our emulation. I mean, Paul even says about Timothy, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Verse 22, but you know his proven character. And that's true of all three of them. There are things that are true about Paul, that are true about Timothy, that are true about Epaphroditus, that we all could look at and say, oh, I would be better. I would be a better person. I would be a better human. I would be a better brother or sister in Christ if I did. But let me encourage you in one in particular. The one characteristic of these three that just jumps off the page to me is their commitment and their loyalty to their family. But listen to me this morning, not their biological family, their spiritual family. Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. Verse 22. Paul calls himself Timothy's father in the faith. Those are family terms. When he talks about Epaphroditus there in verse 25, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. You see, there is a commitment and there is a loyalty between these three men that has nothing to do with biological family, but it has everything to do with spiritual family. And all across the room this morning, we have different groups represented. We have different friends, we have different biological families, we have different groups, and we are committed, we are loyal to our friends, and we are committed, and we are loyal to our school, and we are committed, and we are loyal to our community. But what about this family, brothers and sisters? And I would invite you, and I would challenge you this morning to raise your commitment to this family and your brothers and sisters in this family, to be concerned about what's best for this family and the well-being of this family. As Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus were all a part of the same family. But then there's one last element of today's text and our invitation. I alluded to it a moment ago, verse 29. Receive him therefore in the Lord. This is Paul's encouragement to the Philippian church. Receive him, Epaphroditus, therefore in the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Be grateful for what Epaphroditus has done. He's brought the gift. He got sick in the process. You were concerned about him, but I'm going to send him back, and he's well. Esteem him highly. Brothers and sisters, we have some in our midst this morning that are worthy to be esteemed highly. Brother Ronnie leads our teenagers, our students, faithfully shepherding them week in and week out. Can I encourage you this morning to esteem Brother Ronnie highly? Brother Chris faithfully leads us in worship each and every Sunday, shepherds our senior adults. Can I encourage you to esteem him highly? Cecily Kirby, week in and week out, faithfully shepherds our preschoolers. Esteem her highly. And don't ever take for granted the gifts that this church has been given. Because in a moment's notice, they could be gone. Be grateful. Be thankful. And for those who are serving among us, esteem them highly. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand and join us as we sing a very familiar song, a song of commitment during our time of invitation. And I'll be here at the front, ready to receive you if today you would call on the name of the Lord to save you for the very first time, putting your faith and trust in Christ. I would love this morning to receive you if you would like to make a formal commitment to this church, Emory Baptist Church. You've been visiting. This is where God wants you to be connected. And to do that in a formal way through church membership, we would love to receive you this morning. If you know Christ and you follow through with believer's baptism. Maybe you just simply want to come here and pray this morning on bended knee during this time of invitation. And thank the Lord for those among us who faithfully serve week in and week out. Maybe there's another matter of prayer that you need to commit to the Lord this morning. Our invitation will be for you. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you and bless you for the ministers here at Emory Baptist Church. For Brother Ronnie and his family, Brother Chris and his family, Cecily and her family. Father, let us esteem them highly because they deserve it. And Father, let us continue to serve one another because we ultimately want to serve you. And Father, let us receive those this morning who would put their faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. Lord, we love you. We're grateful and thankful for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us? And I'm here at the front ready to welcome you. Would you come today responding publicly to our invitation?